story of mankind, there has always been rivalry for the control of land, wealth, and power. The country now known as India once saw conflict on a scale so large as to change the course of history itself. This conflict began as simple jealousy from the side of Prince Duryodhan for his cousins the Pandavas, the rightful heirs to the throne of the vast Asian Empire.
I will have the throne by hook or by crook. Yes, Duryodhan. And with these dice of mine, you will.
Excellent, Chokini. Invite the Pandavas for a friendly game.
I have won! I have won! The kingdom is mine!
You cheated!
You won fair and square.
I will smash you, Duryodhana!
Ah, so it's war you want, eh? Then so be it!
Battlefield of Kurukshetra. 600 million troops assemble for this awesome military confrontation. Arjuna, the leading warrior of the Pandava brothers, surveys the battlefield on his divine chariot. His dear friend, Krishna, expertly maneuvers the chariot between the two armies.
Behold, O son of Partha, there is Bhishma, your grandfather. Dronacharya, your guru, Salya, your uncle, and many other relatives and friends. They have all gathered here for this battle.
My dear Lord Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present in this fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and trembling. My bow Gandiva is slipping from my hand. I foresee only evil. O Keshava, what good will come from killing my own kinsman?
You will win a kingdom, Arjuna.
But I don't want a kingdom, having killed my relatives for it. Krishna, how can you ask me to fight with Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship?
If they are so worthy of worship, how is it they are going to attack you?
Their hearts are overtaken by greed, but we know better. Why should we act like them?
It is your duty to act as a Kshatriya, to fight when challenged. If you win, you will get a kingdom, and if you lose, you will go to heaven. However, if you leave the battlefield, then the great generals will consider that you are a coward. What could be more painful for you? Therefore, fight for the sake of fighting, without considering victory or defeat, happiness or loss. In so doing, you will not incur sin.
First you've said that I'll enjoy the kingdom if I win, or I'll enjoy heaven if I lose, but now you're telling me not to consider enjoyment? I'm confused.
Then you should approach a guru.
No one can help me but you, Krishna.
But I am your friend, not your guru.
Then I'll become your disciple. I shall surrender unto you. Oh, Govinda, I cannot fight.
I understand your reluctance to fight, Arjuna. But
while speaking learned words, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. The wise do not lament like this. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor shall we ever cease to be. Arjuna, try to understand that the soul is indestructible. You can't kill the soul, only the material body. For the soul, there is never birth, nor death. He is unborn, eternal, undying. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body.
But I do not wish to be the cause of their deaths.
Whether you fight or not, they must change their bodies. Now listen to this higher instruction which comes through the knowledge of yoga, whereby one can work without attachment to results. When you act by such knowledge, you can free yourself from all karmic reactions. There is no loss on this higher path, and even a little advancement here can save you. You should do your duty, but you are not entitled to the fruit of your actions. O Dhananjaya, rid yourself of all fruitive activities by devotional service to the Supreme. Those who want to enjoy the fruit of their work are nothing but misers. A man who performs devotional service rids himself of both good and bad reactions to past activities. Thus, the wise engage in devotional service and take refuge in the Lord. In this way, they free themselves from the cycle of birth and death. When you are fixed in this higher realization, then you will have attained divine consciousness.
O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one in such divine consciousness?
When a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, then he is said to be transcendental. One who is not disturbed by the material nature, who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. One who can withdraw his senses from the sense objects and who fixes his mind on me is said to be of steady intelligence. One who can control his senses by practicing regulated principles can obtain the mercy of the Lord. That is the way of godly life. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter the kingdom of God.
But Krishna, why should I engage in this ghastly warfare, which seems like nothing more than fruitive work?
You will not achieve freedom from reaction merely by abstaining from all work, Arjuna. Nor by renunciation alone can one obtain perfection. Because men are forced to act helplessly by the modes of material nature. One who restrains his senses but lets his mind dwell on all kinds of sense objects is called a pretender. But he who engages his senses in active devotion is superior.
But a living entity becomes bound by activities. Why then are you asking me to do this work?
Work which is offered to the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, causes no bondage. It is fruitive desires that cause bondage. So work without personal desire, Arjuna.
But what if a person cannot do that?
He should offer the results of his work as a sacrifice to God. Then his desire will be satisfied.
How so?
Pleased by his sacrifice, the Lord, through his agents, the demigods, will make arrangements to satisfy him. But those who enjoy these gifts without offering them in return are thieves. Saintly persons are relieved from this sin because they only eat food offered first for sacrifice. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow this Vedic system lives in sin.
Whose example can I follow that has perfected their life through this Vedic system?
There are many. King Janak for one.
Janak Maharaj. But was he not already on the realized platform? Why should he have had to work?
To set an example for others, Arjuna. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. There is no work prescribed for me, yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. If I didn't perform my duties, everyone would follow my example.
But you are the Supreme Lord, and your opinion is given in the scriptures. People know that they will go to hell if they do not follow. So why do they not follow, Krishna? What impels one to act sinfully?
It is lust, Arjuna, which is born of passion and is later transformed into wrath. It is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Therefore, O son of Bharat, curb this lust by regulating the senses. Arjuna, this knowledge I'm giving you now, I previously instructed to the sun god Vivishvan, and he instructed it to Manu. And Manu, in turn, passed it down through the chain of disciplic succession. But now it is broken and lost. I am therefore speaking it to you, since you are my devotee and my friend.
How am I to understand that you imparted this knowledge to the sun god? He is senior by birth to you.
Arjuna, many births both you and I have lived. I can remember them all, but you cannot.
But how? How can you remember all of your previous births, Krishna?
I am unborn, and my body is transcendental and indestructible. I am the Supreme Lord of all beings. My appearance in every millennium is for the enlightenment of the living entities. I descend whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. I descend millennium after millennium. Anyone who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains love for me and thus comes to my eternal abode. Therefore, Arjuna, if your work of fighting is done with this knowledge of me, it is like a brahmana offering a sacrifice in a temple. Your bow is like the spoon, your arrows are like the ghee, and the Kaurava's opposing army is like the fire. You are the brahmana in this sacrifice, Arjuna.
I have never heard of fighting as a sacrifice, Krishna.
Yes, you have.
I have?
You are known as Dhananjaya, the winner of wealth. Through fighting, you've won so much wealth, and that wealth was used in your brother's Rajasuya sacrifice.
Of course.
Without sacrifice, one can never be happy in this life. What then of the next? And the culmination of all sacrifice is transcendental knowledge.
I must know more of how to gain such transcendental knowledge.
Then just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and serve him. He will give you real knowledge. With this knowledge, you will be able to fight without being in illusion, and thus you will burn up your sinful activities. In this world, there is nothing more sublime than transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with the weapon of knowledge. Stand and fight.
Fight! Fight! Forgive me, Krishna, but to be free from illusion and fixed in this transcendental knowledge, surely this means a renounced life. And yet you are urging me to fight.
Yes, Arjuna. One in knowledge who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his work, he is always renounced. Unless one engages in devotional service to me, mere renunciation of work cannot make one happy. Though working, such a person is never entangled. One who works without attachment, surrendering the results to the Supreme Lord, is not affected by sinful action. Whereas a person who is greedy for the results of his work becomes entangled.
What force entangles us so?
The three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. In varying proportions, these permeate all existence.
But these modes are controlled by the Lord himself. Is he then responsible for our activities?
No. The responsibility lies with the individual living entities, who through their own choice have become bewildered by the darkness of ignorance. Ignorance which covers knowledge of their real identity. However, when one is enlightened, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up the world. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or a dog eater. His mind is established in equanimity.
I see. And what are the actions and feelings of such a person?
He neither rejoices when receiving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. He never partakes in the pleasures of the senses, which are sources of misery. For such pleasures have a beginning and an end. His happiness is within. He is active within, and he rejoices within. He knows that I am the purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the friend of all beings. O Arjuna, I shall now reveal this knowledge to you, which is very rare. Of many thousands among men, only one may endeavor for perfection. And out of a thousand of those perfected, hardly one knows me in truth. Now that I have your attention, I will tell you of the eight types of material energies. They include earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But my superior energy is the living entities. All of these energies come from me. Therefore, I am the source of everything. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the original fragrance of the earth and the life of all living beings. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. I am the original seed of all existence.
Everything is dependent on you, and yet everyone is unaware of this fact.
Because they are deluded by the three modes of nature, Arjuna.
How can I transcend them?
It is difficult to overcome this energy of mine. But if one surrenders unto me, then and only then can he cross over it easily.
But there are many, many pandits, scholars, and intellectuals who do not surrender unto you.
Being foolishly proud, but thinking themselves intelligent, they are unfortunately bewildered and never surrender to me.
Then who are the people who do surrender?
There are four types of pious person who want to render devotional service to me. Those who are in distress, those who want wealth, the inquisitive, and those in true knowledge.
And which do you consider the best, Krishna?
The one in true knowledge is best.
Why is that?
Since he has no distress or other desires, his meditation on me can be continuous. Thus, he is always in union with me. He comes to the platform of full surrender after many births, Arjuna. Such a great soul is very rare.
There are others who devoutly worship demigods, Krishna. Their hopes are for material gain.
As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I, as the supersoul in everyone's heart, make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. In this way, he obtains his desires, but actually these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Only men of small intelligence worship the demigods because their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet.
And what of the impersonalists?
Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, am merely a manifestation of a higher impersonal energy which has somehow assumed this temporary form. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my real nature, which is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am hidden by my own potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. O Arjuna, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows.
My lord, can the bewildered living entity, entrapped by illusion, ever come to know you?
They have been overcome by the dualities of desire and hate since the beginning of creation. But for one who is without deviation in remembering me, I am easy to obtain. O son of Partha, through constant engagement in devotional service, he shall attain me. My dear Arjuna, I'll reveal to you a secret about myself. It is hard to understand, but because you are not envious of me, you will, and be freed from miseries as a result. This knowledge is the king of all knowledge. It is the topmost secret because bhakti is secret. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Without faith in the path of devotion, one must take birth again. Now, hear this knowledge, which is needed to increase one's faith and devotion. I pervade this entire universe. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. I do not associate with the material nature. Therefore, I am independent of it and all living beings, but they are not independent of me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living beings and the source of creation, still I am aloof from the whole affair. I am not bound by my creation, Arjuna, because I am not attached to my work.
How is it possible that you remain unattached?
It is my energy which is doing everything. It is producing all moving and non-moving beings, and I am simply supervising.
And yet many do not understand you. Some even despise you.
Such fools deride me because they do not know my transcendental nature. For these fools who possess atheistic views, their hopes for liberation or success are all defeated. They develop an evil, lusty, and violent nature.
Fortunate are those who are able to worship you.
Only the Mahatmas, Arjuna, the great souls, they know my personality. Thus they are fully engaged in my devotional service. Others worship the demigods. They want heavenly pleasures by drinking soma ras. However, you should know that this enjoyment is limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods, but those who worship me come to me. In all kinds of worship, it is I who am the sacrifice. I am the transcendental chant. I am the father of this universe. I am the Vedas and the syllable Om. I am also death personified.
And yet, you are personally reciprocating with your devotees.
For my devotees, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. Although they do not desire anything from me, I still provide it. Even the burden of maintaining their body is carried by me, as a householder takes care of his own family. those who offer to me with love a fruit, a leaf, or even water, I will accept. Whatever you do, you should perform for my satisfaction. In this way, Arjuna, you will be freed from material bondage. I am equal to everyone, but those who worship me are indeed my true friends.
If your devotee commits a sin, Krishna, is he still your true friend?
Yes, Arjuna, he is still my friend because he is determined to perform devotional service despite his difficulties.
How can that be? I don't understand this.
He very quickly becomes righteous, and I accept him because he laments his committing the sin, remembering me again and again. And because of lamentation, his heart burns and he thinks, "Alas, alas, there's no other devotee lower than me. I am truly wretched." Again and again he curses himself and becomes purified due to his repentance. Therefore, Arjuna, you should declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish.
You yourself are declaring it, Krishna. It is not for me to...
I am known to break my vows to satisfy my devotees, but if you say it, they will listen. Whoever surrenders to me, I will give them shelter. They simply have to fix their minds upon me. Listen, and I will explain my wonderful opulences for your benefit. Neither the demigods nor the sages know my origin, because I am the source of all the sages and demigods. Know that I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything comes from me. The wise who know this engage in my service with all their heart. Their thoughts dwell in me, and they derive great pleasure conversing about me. They meditate on me and cannot live without me, as fish cannot live without water. Their minds become eager to hear my names and pastimes. This is their food. They lovingly speak with each other about my devotional service and loudly chant my names in kirtan. They enjoy this just as a young man enjoys the beauty of a young girl. To such persons who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Dwelling in their hearts, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance.
Oh, Krishna, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the origin of all. You are the original and unborn person. All the great sages like Narada, Devala, Asita, and Vyas confirm this. I totally accept you as the God of gods, the Lord of this universe. Please, tell me in detail of your divine opulences.
Yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations. I am the Supersoul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. And among stars, I am the moon. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And amongst birds, I am Garuda. Of aquatics, I am the shark. Of seasons, I am flower-bearing spring. I am victory. I am adventure. And I am the strength of the strong. Whatever is possessed of extraordinary power, Arjuna, it comes from but a mere spark of my splendor. O Arjuna, witness my opulences. See hundreds and thousands of multicolored forms. See the Adityas, Rudras, Vasus, and all other demigods. Whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this universal body of mine. You cannot see it with your present eyes, Arjuna. Therefore, I will bestow upon you suitable eyes. Behold my mystic powers.
I see all the demigods. I see Brahma. I see Shiva. All the sages and divine serpents. I see in your body many, many arms and unlimited eyes. I see no end, no middle or beginning. It is difficult to behold your form because of its glaring effulgence. My lord, you are without origin. You are inexhaustible. I see blazing fire coming from your mouth, burning the entire universe. Everyone is entering into your mouth. Oh Lord, all the demigods are disturbed by seeing this form with its many faces, eyes and arms, and terrible teeth. Oh Lord, seeing this form of yours, my mind is disturbed by fear. I see the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers, all rushing into your fearful mouth. Some I see trapped, with their heads smashed between your teeth. Oh Lord of Gods, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me who you are.
I am Time, destroyer of worlds. Destroy all sinful people. With the exception of you and your brothers, all the soldiers on both sides will be slain. Therefore, arise and prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies. They are already destined to die by my arrangement, but you can be my instrument in this fight.
My lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times, again and yet again. In the past, I have called you as my friend, not knowing your glories. I have dishonored you in many ways. Please excuse me for my offenses. After seeing this universal form, I am gladdened, but my mind is so disturbed with fear. Please again show me your original form. Please.
My dear Arjuna, happily I have shown you my universal form. No one has ever seen this form before. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now, let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. This form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are aspiring to see this form. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding.
My lord, please tell me what I should do now.
Perform your duties for me and remember me always. I am the friend of my devotees and I'll give myself to them. So don't worry. If you did not listen to me out of pride, then you would be lost.
I know I am a Kshatriya, and I have to fight. But if I kill my relatives, I'll incur sins, so I don't...
If you say a Kshatriya should fear killing his relatives, and you decide not to fight, then I say your decision is useless. People will criticize and mock you for not fighting. And if you do not fight, and do not heed my words, then you are surely deluded.
Oh, Krishna, please.
My dear Arjuna, deliberate fully on what I have told you. Then you do as you wish to do.
Oh, Krishna, please guide me.
I have spoken everything. Now you decide. Listen, Arjuna, you are my dear friend. Hear the essence of my instructions. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer homage unto me. In this way, give your senses to me. Since the mind is the king of the senses, if you think of me, the others will all follow. If you offer these to me, then what will I give to you? I'll give my very self to you. I promise you. So please, do not have any doubts.
You are asking so many things. Make it simple and say one thing.
Abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear, Arjuna.
Give up everything?
Yes, everything. Fear not, Arjuna. I will deliver you from all sinful activities in the past, present, and future. Don't minimize my power. Oh, Arjuna, have you heard this with an attentive mind? If your ignorance and illusions are not dispelled, then I am willing to begin again.
My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I understand things as they are. I have complete faith in you. Now I understand you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of bliss and knowledge. You are the Supreme Controller and the friend of all. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Now I am ready to assist you, to remove the evil burden of this world.
Wherever there is Krishna, the supreme mystic, and Arjuna, the mighty archer, there will also certainly be power, opulence, morality, and victory!